So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Mark Bauer of Connectegrity. Hi, Mark.
Connectegrity, yeah, that's right. Hi there.
How you doing? You all right?
I'm very well, thank you.
So, Mark, for the benefit of our readers and listeners, can you tell us a bit about you and a bit about Connectegrity and the work that you do?
Sure. So I'm Mark Bauer. My background is, you know, I'm an IT guy by profession. Spent a good number of years doing IT consultancy, including some time working for Microsoft and a few other big companies. And then a few years ago, decided to make the break and set up Connectegrity with my business partner, Linda Chung.
Fantastic.
And we chose to focus on the professional services world.
Uh-huh.
We wanted to do a technology startup, and we figured that the services sector and professional services in particular, one of the last few bastions where, you know, the web and the internet haven't really touched their ways of working yet. And we thought there was a great opportunity in that particular area.
Excellent. Now, my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that Connectegrity was almost like a startup sort of vehicle. And what you've done is you've developed a couple of almost like products out of the back of that. Is that right?
Yeah, that's kind of how we got started. We set out knowing we wanted to work in this area, we wanted to do something around technology, but not really sure what we were going to do initially. So we started out by selling some consultancy. We did some consultancy engagements with various professional services firms.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our idea behind that was, one, to earn a little bit of revenue while we got started, and two, to learn more about that sector and learn about what those kind of organisations really wanted from technology.
Excellent.
And the key thing that came over when we did that research was that they were really looking for new ways to win and generate more business. It was the start of the sort of big recession.
Yeah.
And that was the key pain point they were looking to address.
Excellent. So it seems to me that one of the first things off the blog was Cube Social. And I wanted you to do, if that's right, and what I wanted to do was to ask you to tell us a little bit more about what Cube Social is, because that seems to be the biggest venture so far. Is that right?
That's right, it is. So Cube Social, way to think about that is that just as Outlook is the gateway and gatekeeper for email in big corporates, then Cube Social is the equivalent for social media.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, our view of social media is that it's a tool that every client-facing member of staff ought to be using on behalf of their business.
Right.
And whilst that's not the case today, that's our vision for where things ought to go. And my business partner, Linda, tells it quite an interesting story. We're both of that kind of age now where we've been in the workplace for quite a few years, and when we both started, it was around the time when email was pretty much in its early days as a corporate tool.
Mm-hmm.
And Linda tells a story that she started work as a graduate at KPMG, and she actually had to go and get a sign-off, a piece of paper, fill in a form, and get a sign-off to say that she was allowed to send emails outside of KPMG.
Right.
And it's hard to imagine now that might have been the case at any time. And so whilst there's still some scepticism around social media from certain elements, we think, you know, that's, you know, just go back a few years and that's how email was viewed in certain sectors.
Yes.
And we think that's how, you know, social media will evolve over the next 10 years or so.
Okay. Now, is it that, I mean, it's been, I've also seen that it's been, Cube Social has been compared to being, it is like a CRM system in a way, and particularly a social CRM system. Is that,
yes,
was that accurate?
Yes, yes, we'd say that. It's got a number of features that you'd expect to see in a CRM system. You know, we have the contact cards where you can see the profile of each of your contacts or your customers or clients, and get a total view of them. And you can see their social media profiles as well. One of the features of Cube Social is that we'll take an email email address and then go and find the social media profiles associated with it, so you can get a complete view of that person,
yeah,
and a complete view of the kinds of things they're saying on social media, you know, things like what their interests are and the degrees of separation from those people, which, you know, helps you build better relationships.
Fantastic. I mean, that brings me on to my next point, which was in terms of building better relationships with people. I mean, that's all very much linked to customer service and things, and it's really, really high on the agenda right now. And I think I ask people when I talk to them, whether it's in a seminar and doing a talk or even just working with clients, and I ask them about whether or not is customer service going up or down, or is it that we're becoming more picky as you know, as consumers or as clients? And I think it's possibly a combination of the two. You know, nevertheless, people are lauding the ability to deliver services being a leading competitive advantage, particularly when they deliver service using social media platforms. I mean, would you agree with that? And if so, why do you think that is? What's sort of changing to drive that, do you think?
Well, I think there's a couple of things going on, Adrian. One is that the conversations that people have always had about businesses with their friends are now happening online and in a very public way.
Right.
So, first of all, they're now visible in a way that they never would have been before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one aspect. And then the second aspect, I think, is that social media makes it so much more easy for customers and clients to communicate with those companies they want to talk to. A few years ago, probably back in the sort of 1990s and early 2000s, a lot of organisations spent a lot of money putting barriers between themselves and their customers. They put in call centres and a lot of machinery to, I guess, serve customers in the most efficient way for them.
Yes.
That made it difficult for customers to connect with them.
Yes.
And one of the things that social media's done is just lower all those barriers.
Right. And
so the big change that I see social media bringing about now is that in the past, you know, the clients would have to organise themselves around the company and try and find the right entry points into that company to go and find out who to talk to.
Right.
Whereas the big shift is that now people are talking in public and the companies are having to go and organise themselves around the places where the customers hang out, whether that's Facebook or Twitter or whatever that might be.
Sure.
And go and serve them in the place where it's most convenient for the customer.
So it's more about the
point of view, that's a great change.
So yes. So it's more about the locus of control has sort of shifted in a way.
I think so, yes.
So, but then that sort of, then within all of that, I mean, there's, and you talk about the management of relationships and the control has sort of shifted. But what I'm also seeing, and I'm pretty sure you're seeing it sort of too, is that there's many traditional, if you like, CRM technology vendors that are now starting to talk about social sort of CRM and rebadge themselves as social CRM players. But do you see there's a difference between CRM and social CRM, or is it just more that the boundaries have shifted?
It's a yes and no answer, I think, from me.
Okay.
So social CRM for me is really about connecting with your contacts and clients at a much more deeper and personal level than was ever possible before.
Right.
And, you know, lots of the traditional CRM products are really about having a lot of static data.
Yes.
I guess coming at it from a social CRM point of view, it's about making that data real and alive.
Mm-hmm.
And the first part of it we've already touched on a little bit is about being able to understand your client better and do that research around the things like what their interests are and what kind of conversations they're having.
Right.
Where we're going with social CRM, I think, and where the potential of this technology is then when the products can start alerting you about interesting things that are happening to your customer.
Right.
And we've started to build some of that into Cube Social. So for one of the things, for instance, that it does, we've got some intelligence in there that identifies when people make certain changes to their profiles, and those changes are often indicators that they're thinking of moving jobs.
Right.
And so whether you're someone who's thinking to hire or someone who's wanting to retain your staff, that's an interesting piece of data to know.
Right. Okay. So it can be your radar, a real-time radar as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we'll go on improving on those things and building on those things around interesting pieces of data. You might, for instance, you might want to know if one of your clients is thinking of, as recently LinkedIn with one of your biggest competitors. That might be a signal to you that you want to go and just touch base with them.
Yes.
They might be thinking of going to buy something from one of your competitors.
And so who would actually be, who are you competing with in this space? I mean, are you competing with people like Nimble, let's say?
We probably put them as one of the most similar products to ourselves.
Okay.
Although we think we've got a different niche from Nimble. So certainly the way Nimble appears positioned to me is that they're targeting the small business sector.
Right, okay.
And our target market is specifically professional services. So, you know, we're thinking about people like accountancy firms and law firms and consulting firms, these kinds of organisations, but of all sizes.
Right, okay. Well, okay, that makes sense. So it's actually you're just focusing on one particular vertical, but all the different sizes in that particular vertical.
Yes.
And it would you see it being used by all people in those sort of firms, or primarily more the marketing, business development, also fee earning sort of roles within the business?
Yeah, we found when we start out with them, it tends to start with the marketing department, and that's kind of a factor of how social media is traditionally being viewed.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly our vision for Cube Social and for social media in general is that it should be on the desktop of every professional.
Right.
So every client-facing member of staff ought to be able to have access to this technology and this information, and ought to be able to have those conversations, because when you know, people buy from professional services firms, they're usually buying the expertise of an individual.
Yes.
And that's the relationship they want to have. They want to have a relationship with a person, not with a a faceless organisation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's fascinating, but I think what it's what the environment is forcing many professional services firms to do is also to realise that it's about the whole customer experience and not just the relationship with the professional. I mean, what I mean by that is, here's an example, is I have a client who is a professional services firm, and we did some customer experience or customer journey mapping type of work with them. And it's almost like it's very illuminating when you do this sort of work with them, when you help them realize that actually sometimes the relationship and the experience that their customers have is not just about their technical ability and the delivery of the, if you like, the report or the piece of work. It can be, a lot of it can be related to, the overall experience can be related to what's the process of engagement like? What is the sort of the management of communication like? What is the invoicing process like? What's the follow-up mm-hmm. process sort of like?
Yeah.
And I think that's it. By getting more people involved in that, it helps them better understand that it's the relationship is not just about the meat and the sandwich, but it's also about that what happens at before and after it as well.
That's a really good point, actually, Adrian. It is. I guess the key professionals there, the main touch point, and there's lots of other pieces along the way that can really influence people's view of that organisation.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. And I guess one of the things about social I bring up is it does make the whole thing a lot more personal.
Yes, indeed.
And so again, it's about moving away from the faceless corporation to having personal interactions, and I think that has a lot of value.
Absolutely. Now, the other thing that you've got going on, which is which I think is really interesting and very much related to the professional services niche, so now I can start to see a theme of some of the work that you're developing, is the next product, which I guess is quite new, is you've got this thing called Honesty Box, which you've recently launched, which, in fact, I'm trialling it on my blog right now.
Oh, fantastic.
So can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yes,
what's behind its sort of genesis and things?
Yeah, so Honesty Box is just like the Honesty Box that you sometimes see in a small store,
uh-huh.
But for the internet. So it is targeted at professionals, and by that we mean anyone who sells their expertise to customers and clients.
Yeah.
Go and sign up. It's absolutely free. You get a little widget that you can put on your blog or your website.
Mm-hmm.
And then when a potential buyer comes along, they can ask you a question through the widget. They get to say how much they'd be happy to pay for that expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, Adrian, as the expert, you get to answer. And at the end of it all, collect your fee.
Yes.
It evolved out of Cube Social from the work that we'd done with some professional services firms and the conversations we had about them. And we saw a gap there that we thought we could fill.
I think it's very neat. I mean, I think what's really neat about it, if I think about it from a customer's perspective, I find that there's a lot of people out there that that want to ask questions but don't necessarily want to engage a professional service firm for a big project and therefore get frightened by the, well, how much is this going to cost me, as it were, and I've only just got this a small question. And I guess it's almost a bit of a bridge in a way, and you could use it as in different ways. I guess you could probably use it as a revenue generation sort of tool, but you could also use it as a bit of a lead generator and a credibility builder as well.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you almost took the words out of my mouth there, Adrian. Yeah, our experience is that there is this gap between, on one hand, you know, people who will have the bravado to come along and ask for your advice for free, and you'll give it in the hope that it will generate a lead and lead to more work.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are also those people who might be a bit more shy, if you like, who are put off by the idea of high fees and long contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And those kind of people often turn to internet forums and where the advice might be of variable quality. Mm-hmm. And so we thought there was this place in the middle where it wasn't being filled right now. And
right.
That's where Honesty Box sits. And it gives the, you know, a win-win, we hope. It's a place where the client can get some expert advice that they can trust at a fair price.
Uh-huh.
And the expert gets the opportunity to find a new lead who is demonstrating their willingness to pay something for that's got a quality to it.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Now, is it just, I think you mentioned it can just fit on websites as well as blogs. I mean, you don't actually have to be a professional services firm that blogs to be able to use this.
No, not at all. You can put it on any kind of website.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a WordPress plugin, so if you do blog and it happens to be on WordPress, you can use that.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a range of little buttons as well, so those are the kind of things you can put on. You can put it on your website, or you can put it in an email footer or anything like that as well.
Fantastic. I mean, I've just put it on. I think it was last week or so. So I'm just sort of trialing it. So I'll make sure I put an ask me a question bit at the bottom of this blog post.
Superb.
So, going back to now, you're in a technology startup yourself and Linda and the team that you're building around you. I mean, and things have been developing, you know, for you quite quickly. I mean, coming away from the products, what do you think are the biggest lessons that you've learned over the last few years, given that you've come out of corporate, you've worked for yourself, done some freelance kind of work and things, and now you're in a startup? And so what have you learned? What would you, if you had your time again, would you do anything differently?
Learned some interesting things along the way. One of the interesting things we learned when we first started doing our consultancy work.
Mm-hmm.
Our first idea was that we'd go and, you know, because we wanted to research our products, we offered ourselves for free.
Right.
We said, we'll come and do some consultancy work for you for free. And we found, actually, there were a lot of blockers when we said we'd do that.
Yes.
Remarkably, it's actually easier for us to charge a fee and sell ourselves into some of these organisations instead. We still haven't quite understood the psychology around that.
Is that just a bit of British scepticism or something?
Pardon?
Is that just British scepticism?
It could be, I guess. I don't know. That was one of the most interesting learnings at the very start. So it's quite something. One of the other things was that, which in part led to the Honesty Box,
mm-hmm.
was that when we were first starting out as well, it was almost like people did try to take advantage of us.
Right.
And would a range of people who would ask for free advice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we did do that thing of going out and saying, okay, this is a potential client, we'll spend some time with you and we'll give you some advice. And then we never heard from those people again.
Right.
And so, you know, that was a harsh lesson to learn. And
yep.
you've probably been through some of those cycles yourself, Adrian.
Yes.
If you're in.
Yes, indeed.
About trying to pick out the ones who are the time wasters, let's say, and focus on the ones who might build into a longer-term relationship. And I think we've got smarter at that.
Right. And would you
those are a couple of things, I'd say.
Would you do anything differently?
Would we do anything? Well, we'd get to those realisations quicker, I think. In terms of our business in general, though, I think we've been pretty happy with it and pretty pleased at how smoothly most of it has gone.
Right. Excellent. So I'm just, in the interest of sort of time and sort of trying to wrap anything up, I mean, what's Connectegrity's plans and your plans for sort of 2013 and beyond? I mean, apart from world domination, obviously.
So the plans going forward over the next year or so are really to focus on the two products we have right now. We don't plan to launch anything else just for the moment.
Uh-huh.
And so we will continue to build and evolve those products.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be largely based on the consumer feedback. It's very easy for people to feedback in this day and age.
Yes.
Social media, for instance, not just useful for customer services, but also in terms of getting very instantaneous product feedback where we make changes and make new launches, and people are quite vociferous about that, which is good.
Excellent.
So continuing to evolve and grow those two products is our main focus for next year.
Super. And so there's a final question that I always like to ask and always like to end these interviews on, and that is, is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
Well, obviously, everyone, go and sign up for Honesty Box and go and sign up for Cube Social. They're both absolutely free to get started. There is also one other thing which is useful to point your listeners and readers to, which I think they'll find useful. It's we have a little e-booklet download,
uh-huh.
Which is called Brilliant at the Basics of Social Media.
Okay.
And it's got 50 sort of top tips for getting started on social media. And it's always hugely popular when we're at conferences and people tweet us and say, this is fantastic. And so we've made that available as an e-book. If you go onto our website and search for Cube Social, Brilliant at the Basics of Social Media, you can go and download that and enjoy.
Fantastic. Well, I'll make sure that gets all written up and linked up, and we'll give you a big shout out when it goes live. But Mark, thank you for your time today. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
You're welcome. Thank you.